नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। शृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तन हृदयन्तस्तो यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8। इट्स एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा शोज द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म। दिस इज टेक्स्ट 21। कालेन व्रजताल्पेन गोकुले रामकेशवो जानुभ्यां सह पाणिभ्यां रिंगमाणो विजह्रतुहो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय। आफ्टर अ शॉर्ट टाइम पास्ट बोथ ब्रदर्स राम एंड कृष्ण बिगन टू क्रॉल ऑन द ग्राउंड ऑफ ब्रज विद द स्ट्रेंथ ऑफ देयर हैंड्स एंड नीज एंड दस एंजॉय देयर चाइल्डहुड प्ले। पर्पोर्ट। वन ब्राह्मिन devotee says, Shrutim apare smritim itare bharatam anye bhajantu bhavabhitaha aham iha nandam vande yasyalinde param brahma. Let others fearing material existence worship the Vedas, the Vedic supplementary Puranas and the Mahabharat, but I shall worship Nanda Maharaj in whose courtyard the supreme Brahman is crawling. For a highly exalted devotee, Kaivalya, or merging into the existence of the Supreme, appears no better than hell, Narakayate. But here, one can simply think of the crawling of Shri Krishna and Balaram in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and always merge in transcendental happiness. As long as one is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna Leela, especially Krishna's childhood pastimes, as Parikshit Maharaj desired to be, one is always merged in actual Kaivalya. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. He compiled Srimad Bhagavatam under the instruction of Narada so that anyone can take advantage of this literature and think of Krishna's pastimes and always be liberated. Shrutim apare, smritim itare, bharatam anye bhajantu bhava bhitaha, aham iha nandam vande yasya linde param brahma. Om ajnana timirandhasya ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So welcome to this evening class, the continuation on the seminar on the glories and pastimes of Lord Balaram. There are devotees who are exalted. Please forgive me if I make mistakes in this attempt. The main aim of this seminar is to purify ourselves by absorbing our consciousness in the glories and the pastimes of Lord Balaramji. As we discussed yesterday, Lord Balaram's appearance, Avirbhav Tithi, is this Saturday, but the celebration has already started. we celebrate going up to Balaram Jayanti through the pastimes of Krishna's and Balaram's leelas. In the 10th canto, the verse that we were discussing yesterday, just after that, continuing in the discussion of Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami, there is a very, very beautiful verse which talks about the importance of hearing Krishna Katha. Before we do any activity, it's always good to remind ourselves why we are doing it and what we aim to get out of it. Nivritta tarashair upagiya manad bhavau shada shrotra manobhiramat ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vinapa shugnat. The Bhagavatam describes that the medicine for this material existence, to cross over this material existence, is simply hearing. Sometimes we think that if the disease is so dangerous, the medicine also has to be really difficult to perform or to administer. But here you find that we are in this material world, but the medicine to get out of this material world is simply hearing. Simply hearing. Shrotra manobhiramat. And hearing about whom? Uttama shloka. Krishna has a name called as Uttama Shloka because the best among poetry is used to describe him. And at the same time, that poetry which describes him is the best. Shloka means verses and Uttama means topmost. So hearing about Krishna purifies everything. And is it very difficult to hear? Shrotra manobhiramat. It pleases the senses, the mind and the consciousness. So Parikshit Maharaj, he says, ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vinapashugnan. Unless and until one is a butcher, you know, they won't even have a second thought whether or whether not to hear. Unless and until one has really decided, I want to destroy myself, then, okay, you don't have to hear about Krishna. But if you really want to purify, then there's every need that we remind ourselves of Krishna and Balaram. So we made a couple of points yesterday. We spoke about the position of Lord Balaram. We spoke about how he served Sri Krishna in different rasas in Braj Bhumi. We discussed how he serves Ramachandra as Lakshmana. We discussed how he serves Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nityananda Prabhu. And the glory just continues. Sometimes we hear devotees say that we shouldn't cross over instruments like the Mridanga, the Kartal, because they are also expansions of Balaram. Wherever there is Krishna, there is Balaram. So Krishna appears in the form of Krishna Naam, or the name, the holy name. And to support the holy name, Balaram comes as the instruments. Similarly, when he expands as Vishnu and wants to take rest, immediately Balaram coils himself as Ananta and wraps himself like a snake. My Lord, you sleep on me. I'm your bed. So he's a perfect servant. And therefore, he personifies Adi Guru, Guru Tattva, the quality of being a perfect spiritual master. So today, going ahead, we will start the discussion on his actual appearance, the pastimes of what were the circumstances in Mathura, what were the circumstances in Vrindavan, and how this whole pastime unfolded. We know this famous story of how Mother Earth was overburdened by the irreligious activities of the kings. She assumed the form of a cow and approached Brahma, saying that, I'm not able to take the weight of people who are irreligious. Please, you have to help me. So Brahma took Bhumi Devi, who was in the shape of a cow, along with all the demigods, headed by Indra and Shiva, and they went to Shvetadvip. And Lord Vishnu, who eternally resides there, he communicated and he expressed that just have patience and very soon I'm going to appear. And that the demigods along with their wives have to appear in the Vrishni and the Yadu dynasty. And as we know, the story continues and there were six children of Devaki who were killed. And then finally Balaram and Krishna appear. Our acharyas describe it a little differently. So I would like to throw some light on that. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that these six children who were killed from the womb of Devaki are called as Shat Garbhasur. Shat means six, Garbha means womb, and Asura means demon. So previously, they had a curse that they would be killed by their own father. They were sons of Kalanemi. And they had this curse that they would be killed by their own father. And that Kalanemi reincarnated as Kamsa. And those six sons became the six children of Devaki. So sometimes people ask this question, how does all this happen? And why did Narada Muni go and instigate Kamsa that you have to go and kill? But not because Narada Muni is Devarishi. He knows past, present and future. So therefore he knew everything, that these six children are actually children of Kalanemi. And they are anyway cursed to die. So the quicker Kamsa kills them, it speedens up Krishna's advent. So sometimes we could also think about it and ask questions. How is it that the same womb which had these six asuras, how could the same womb hold Balaram and Krishna? How is it possible? The answer that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives, he says that these six children represent six anarthas inside us. What do you mean by anartha? Anartha means something that's unwanted. A bad emotion. Lust, greed, envy, pride, jealousy, illusion, criticism, madness. They're all anarthas. So these six children represented kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mad and matsarya. Kama means lust, krodha means anger, lobha means greed, moha means illusion, mad means madness, and matsarya means envy. So these six children each represented one anartha. Devaki represents a devotee, and Kamsa represents bad association. So the more Devaki feared Kamsa, more there were murders, or those anarthas were being destroyed. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes, a devotee must always fear bad association, like Devaki feared Kamsa. If we do that, then the six children inside us, in the form of the six anarthas, will surely be destroyed. Now, because they occupied the womb of Devaki, it wasn't conducive for Krishna to appear in the same womb. So therefore, what happened? The plenary portion, Ananta Dev, he appeared. We described yesterday how he represents Guru Tattva. So he appeared in the womb of Devaki, cleansed the womb, made the seating arrangement perfect, and then Krishna appeared. Because Krishna cannot appear in the same womb that held all these negative emotions in the form of the asuras. So therefore, there also, to serve and keep the seating arrangement ready, Baladev appears as Ananta. A plenary portion. He appears and very quickly he cleanses the womb. And then we know the story of how she had a miscarriage. This is very beautifully described in the commentary of Srila Sanatan Goswami, in the commentary of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And Prabhupada, again and again, he quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in this episode. The Supreme Lord, he invokes Bhadra or Yoga Maya. And he gives her this advice, that six children are gone. Now the child who's going to be in the womb of Devaki, which is Ananta, you have to transfer that child to the womb of Rohini. So therefore, yesterday we discussed, Balaram has a name because of this transfer. What is that name? Sankarshan. Because he was attracted completely from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, he's called as Sankarshan. So we know that the Lord has different names according to the different pastimes that he performs. So he was attracted there, and it seemed as if Devaki had a miscarriage because the child was transferred. Now this was also Krishna's plan. Sanatana Goswami describes Krishna did this on purpose so that Kamsa loses count on whether that is the seventh or whether that is the eighth. Now the next child that comes into this world from the womb of Devaki, should you count that as seven? Or should you count that as eight? So to confuse Kamsa completely, Krishna did that. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Buddhir Buddhir Matamasmi Tejas Tejas Vinamaham. If you think you're intelligent, I am smarter. Because he says, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So Kamsa, he knew that the eighth child is going to kill. And Vasudev, he started going and giving every child so truthfully. And the first child that was given, Kamsa's heart melted. He was moved by the emotion. He said, take this child back. First child, first time you've become a parent, take the child. You're actually standing to your word. This is not the cause of my death. Take the child away. But then Narada Muni came and said, you know, I think you should take care. And then, you know, the story unfolds. So this baby girl, who's the energy Yoga Maya, was instructed to carry this plenary portion and also take birth through the womb of Mother Yashoda. So now the whole scene is like this. Mother Devaki has the seventh child. Seems like a miscarriage, transferred to the womb of Rohini. Now Rohini is pregnant with Balaram. Yes? Mother Yashoda is pregnant with the baby girl. And then now Devaki is going to give birth to Krishna. So this child is transferred. Krishna appears from Devaki's womb. The baby girl appears from Yashoda's womb. And then there is a switch. So Krishna now seems to be Yashoda's child, while the baby girl comes into the prison and Kamsa thinks this is the child and tries to fling the child, and the child flies in the air. That's how the story unfolds, the acharyas explain. So even when the Supreme Lord appeared before Vasudev, the Bhagavatam uses the words Bhagavat Prachoditaha Sutam Samadaya. The Supreme Lord appeared as Vishnu. So therefore Vasudev, he was taking the instruction from Supreme Lord, take me to the house of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So Bhagavat Prachoditaha, he was ordered by God, but whom did he lift? Sutam Samadaya, he lifted his child. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes, there's a transition of Vishnu being four-handed and suddenly transforming himself into a baby. So therefore, Vasudev was instructed by God, but he picked up his own child as baby Krishna. And then we know this very famous story, I mean, I won't get into detail because this is a Balaram seminar, but you know, Balaram is again incomplete without Krishna. So then Krishna is transferred, Yamuna rises, there's torrents of rainfall. The acharyas give different reasons why it rained also. One acharya comments that the rain cloud started thinking, the Supreme Lord could have appeared in any complexion. How merciful he is, he agreed to come in my complexion, Megha Shyam. And the cloud started crying in ecstasy. And it started raining. Another acharya explains that the cloud started thinking, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. You have little leaf, you have little flower, you have little water. You offer and I accept. The cloud says, all that I have is water. Let me offer my water to Krishna. The third acharya comments that the cloud started thinking, well, Krishna appeared in the prison house, so he hasn't taken his first bath. It's my opportunity. I won't lose this. I'll be crazy if I lose this. The fourth acharya comments. Now, Vasudev was doing this mission very, you know, it was a secret mission of carrying Krishna. Nobody should have, you know, got to know this. So now if it rains heavily, everybody, they prefer to stay indoors. They don't go out. So it started raining to keep everyone indoor so that they don't come out to see the secret mission. So in that way, we have so many acharyas who comment so beautifully. There was one more acharya who says that the ocean holds jewels. And jewels, or the oysters, or the pearls, represent Lakshmi. So because the ocean protects the pearls, therefore the ocean naturally becomes the father of Lakshmi. So now the ocean was thinking, he's going to be my future son-in-law, because he's Lakshmikant. He's going to get married to Lakshmi. So therefore, I have to gift him something, because my son-in-law has just appeared. Now, how does the ocean gift? The ocean calls the cloud and says, can you just carry my gift to Sri Krishna? And the ocean gives its water to the cloud, and the cloud pours it on Krishna. This is from your father-in-law. The acharyas gives beautiful commentary. And then Krishna, of course, goes there, and the baby girl has got here. Mother Yashoda, because she's so tired because of this pregnancy, that she even fails to realize whether it's a baby boy or baby girl. So when she wakes up, it's baby Krishna. Hey, it's my child. She never realizes that this child is actually Devaki's. And the baby girl is transferred there. Kamsa throws the baby girl in the air, and the girl says that you're searching in the wrong direction. The child who's supposed to be the cause of your death is somewhere else. And then Putana, Trinavarta, etc. were sent. Balramji appeared at around noontime on the beautiful occasion of Shravan Purnima. This astrologically happens to be Swati Nakshatra. Balram appeared, and how beautiful he looked. Srila Prabhupada explains that Balram looked so beautiful. When Mother Rohini saw Balram for the first time, she took some moments to realize what it is. Now for us, we find babies in this world, we know for sure it's a baby. We just have to see whether it's a boy or a girl. But for Rohini, she took a lot of time to realize what is that. Because when she was looking at the child, she was looking at the eyes, she was convinced it's a white lotus. When she was looking at the sharp nose, she was thinking this is the sesame flower, as sharp as the sesame flower. When she was looking at the cheeks, she was seeing this was a ball of cotton, because Balram was very fair. When looking at the lips, she was saying this is like a half-cut, fresh, red fruit. When she was looking at the nails of Balram, she was thinking it's a mother flower. So in that way, she was convinced that this is actually a basket of flowers. But then she looked at the teeth of Balram, said, no, this seems like a pearl. And then she gets into the nails and the toes, and she says, no, this is ruby, this is emerald, this is an oyster. I'm sure this is a basket of jewels. Then she looks at another sense of Balram and says, this looks like a fruit. And then she's convinced that this is a basket of fruits. That's how beautiful he was. And the acharyas explain, as Balaram grew with passing time, his features were exquisite. Long eyes, almost touching his ears. The blinking of Balaram's eyes were like opening and closing of the white lotus. Beautiful eyelashes rolling backwards. Locks of soft black curly hair cascaded up to the shoulder. Nice, beautiful necklace, armlet, bracelet, anklet, waist belt, and his dazzling, effulgent blue dhoti. The blue dhoti is also blue because he always wears things which reminds him of Krishna. Sri Balaramji sometimes changes his complexion, but when we go to Nandagram, we have a very beautiful temple where Balaramji is dark. So there are three reasons why sometimes Balram changes his complexion. One is, just like Sri Krishna thinks too much about Srimati Radharani and his complexion becomes molten gold and becomes Gauranga. Similarly, Balram keeps thinking about Krishna and he becomes bluish black. The another reason is, sometimes demons get into Braj Bhumi, and Balram, he's so protective, he thinks, if I become like Krishna, the demons have to encounter me first. I will protect Krishna. So even when Keshi demon, he entered Vrindavan, Balram was roaming around as Krishna. But the only thing he did was he forgot to put his peacock feather. Keshi asked Kamsa, how do I recognize Krishna? So Kamsa gave him the description. You know, he tucks in a flute, he wears pitambar vastra, which means dazzling yellow garment, and so on and so forth. But that day, Balram was roaming around as Krishna because he wanted to be protective. And Keshi came in, just ran towards Balram, and with his hind legs, kicked the chest of Balram, and Balram just fell down. He was gasping for breath. Balram, who is the source of all power and all spiritual strength, he was gasping for breath. And he ran home, started crying because he was a kid. He was a small child. He ran home and he told Krishna, take all your ornaments. I don't want it. It's very painful. Take all your dress. I thought it's going to be really flashy becoming Krishna, but it isn't. Only you can manage. During the Krishna Balram installation in Vrindavan, disciples of Prabhupada asked Prabhupada, Balram is so powerful. So he's keeping his hand on Krishna's shoulder. You've seen in Vrindavan Krishna Balram Mandir? They asked Prabhupada, who is more powerful, Krishna or Balaram? Because Balram is so powerful naturally, they said to Prabhupada. We know Balram is powerful, but then why is he keeping his hand on Krishna's shoulder? Prabhupada looked at them and said, because Krishna is powerful. You will definitely keep your hand on somebody's shoulder who's stronger than you. You're not going to keep on the shoulder of somebody who's a kid. So Balaram is keeping his hand on the shoulder of Krishna because Krishna is more powerful. So Krishna started laughing when Balaram went and told him that. So Balaram is very protective. And the third reason sometimes Balaram goes bluish black is because they're almost at the same age. So kids of the same age want to share everything. If you have a flute, I also want a flute. If you have a peacock feather, I also want a peacock feather. If you are bluish black, I also want to be bluish black. So Balaram sometimes changes his complexion. The description is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Balaram started crawling. The Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes, is learning to crawl in the dust of Braj Bhumi. And there were some pastimes which Balaram did when he was crawling. He used to catch hold of the tail of the cows and the calves. Mostly the calves, because they are easier to approach than the cows. And he's crawling and he's holding the tail of the calf. Because the calf is in meditation, suddenly comes and somebody comes and holds the tail. The calf doesn't know what to do. Out of fear, the calf starts running. Now Balaram, because he's holding the tail and he can't leave, he becomes fearful and he holds on, closes his eyes, and now he's moving. The calves are running and Balaram is moving on his chest. The gopis start crying. Said the pebbles in Braj Bhumi will scratch the chest of Balaram. But in Vrindavan, as we know, it is Chintamani Dham. It is such a transcendental place that even the pebbles, the stones, they tell themselves, they align themselves in such a way that they please Balaram. So all the pebbles melt naturally. The mud becomes so wet and so soft that Balaram can slide so easily. Then there's another pastime given of how when he used to crawl, if Mother Yashoda came and called him, he used to smile, that's it, but never went. But if Mother Rohini came and called Balaram, he used to crawl so fast. So fast, because he wanted his own mother to call him. Even in the name-giving ceremony, when Gargacharya came, so Rohini had Krishna on her lap, and Mother Yashoda had Balaram. So Gargacharya tells both the mothers, just because you have the opposite children, don't think I'll be fooled. Balaram eternally belongs to Rohini and Krishna eternally belongs to Yashoda. Because the children themselves were making a mistake. What were they doing? Krishna was sitting on the lap of Mother Rohini and looking at the face of Mother Yashoda. And Balaram was sitting on the lap of Mother Yashoda and looking at the face of Rohini. They were so attracted by their mothers. And as they started to walk, the description given is, he who gives the strength in man to walk. You know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. Says, I am the strength of the strong. I am the ability in man. So Krishna gives us the strength to walk, and that Krishna and Balaram are learning to walk by holding the little finger of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba. Sometimes Balaram will hold the little finger of Nanda Maharaj and he is walking and he will just fall down and start crying. And Nanda Maharaj says, get up Gopal, get up Balaram, you can do it. Wake up, get up. And then Balaram learns to walk again, holds on, takes his baby steps. Isn't it so sweet? The Supreme Lord, sometimes people say that, you know, he's fair and he's the Lord of justice and he's judgmental. But that Supreme Lord has an inner nature. He's so sweet. Adharam madhuram, vadanam madhuram, nayanam madhuram, hasitam madhuram, hridayam madhuram, gamanam madhuram, madhuradipate rakhilam madhuram. Everything about Krishna is sweet, right? Starting from his lips to his toe. Very sweet. So same Krishna and Balaram are coming and moving in Vrindavan simply to reciprocate with their loving devotees. Mother Yashoda could never work at home when Krishna and Balaram started to walk, because they were so naughty. Whenever Krishna and Balaram saw something burning, wherever there is fire, they went to touch it. What is this? Exciting. So Mother Yashoda and Rohini spent all their time just keeping them away. Either they are going to touch fire, or they are going to touch the teeth of monkeys, or the horns of the cows and the bulls. So naughty. And then they started to run. And when they started to run, they were stealing butter. They were lying. They did all those pastimes. Anand Vrindavan Champu, a book by one of our acharyas, describes the different games that they played as a child. Sometimes Balram used to throw a fruit in the air, and he used to tell Krishna that you have to hit my fruit with yours. If you do that, then you are victorious. If you don't do, then I am victorious. Even in the story of Pralambasura, we know how they used to wrestle with one another, and the losing team had to take the winning team on the back. So they played all these games. Sometimes it was blind man buff. Sometimes it was hide and seek. And at the end of the day, when they're so tired, Krishna used to massage Balram's lotus feet. Balram used to massage Krishna's lotus feet. All the friends used to come together and fan Krishna and Balram with big banyan leaves. With different leaves, with different flowers, with different fruits, just fan. Keep the insects away. And ensure that Krishna and Balram take some rest. Even when Balram used to enter the forests of Vrindavan, the description given in the Krishna book is, the trees were all bending down. They were bending in the weight of their fruits. But Krishna tells Balaram, you know why they're all bending? Because they are trying to give Dandavat Pranam to you. Oh Balaram, you're so great. All these trees in their previous lives were impersonalists or Mayavadis. And because now they are in the bodies of trees where you can't perform half or full obeisances, therefore they are naturally bowing their head to show, oh Balaram, you're so great. Shripad Ayendra Prabhu in Vrindavan, Prabhupada's disciple, in his room he has some trees, small pieces of the trees of Vrindavan. So he worships them. So when one devotee asked him, why you do that? He narrated this whole story and he said how Krishna told Balaram, these trees are so special because they bow down to you. Therefore, anyone who worships these trees, they will get my special mercy. Therefore, when we go to Vrindavan, we have to be very, very careful that we never hurt anything. I have seen some children taking some stones and scratching on the trees. We should never do that. These trees which are decorated with Sri Radha, Nam, are so great. They're all eternal devotees of Lord Balaram. In the pastime of Kaliya, the snake, Prabhupada describes that is the day when Balaram didn't come with Krishna. He didn't come with Krishna. The day when Krishna killed Kaliya, Balaram didn't come with Krishna. The internal reason was Balaram being Anantashesh, the source of all the snakes, couldn't see how some snake from his family could actually aim to kill Krishna. Kaliya was a snake and Balaram is the source of all Ananta. So it's like telling Kaliya, I'm ashamed of you. How could you do this? And that day, Balaram wasn't there, so all the Brajavasis were blaming Balaram. You were the one who was appointed to take care of Krishna. Why did you leave him alone today? Because you left him alone, he jumped into the Yamuna. Because he jumped into the Yamuna, he is going to be killed now. Because there were bubbles on the top. Balaram, you're responsible. And here is Balaram laughing. What can happen to Krishna? He is Adipurush. Nothing can happen to him. So the interactions of Krishna and Balaram are so sweet. Another instance, when Krishna was bound as Damodar, right, by Mother Yashoda, Krishna was crying because the ropes were so tight and he couldn't move. So Balaram came and said, shh, don't cry. I'll release you out. Don't worry. I'll just wait for a time when Mother Yashoda is not looking towards this direction. I'll just wait. As she takes her eyes off, I'll release you. So Balaram walks tiptoe to release Krishna of those ropes. And as he touches those ropes, Yashoda starts shouting, Balaram, don't do that. So Balaram tells Krishna, well, Mother Yashoda has bound you. I can't do anything now. I'm sorry. I raise my hands. Balaram, who is the Supreme Lord, is surrendering to the will of his devotee, Yashoda. I surrender. Therefore, we find Shishi Gauranga and Nityananda, they're coming like this. There are many reasons, of which one reason is that the Supreme Lord is surrendering himself to the devotees who are trying to surrender to him. I surrender. We are trying to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna is trying to surrender to the devotee. So Balaram always interacts like this with Krishna in a very sweet manner. And there are so many such beautiful pastimes where the interactions of Balaram in all the different rasas get so profound and so intricate. The acharyas explain so many beautiful pastimes. When Krishna was lifting Giriraj Govardhan with his left hand, Krishna always found reasons to meet Srimati Radharani, but it was very difficult. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that Krishna used to do things so that Radharani and all the other sakhis and gopas and gopis used to come to see Krishna. Like dance on the head of Kaliya. You know Krishna's dancing on the head of a snake? Come, come, let's go. You know Krishna is lifting the mountain? Let's go. So Krishna was very easily lifting Giriraj. But as soon as Srimati Radharani arrived, his hands started shaking because of ecstasy. Now when this was happening, all the cowherd, the gopas, they started thinking, Krishna is feeling really weak. So they started supporting Giriraj with the sticks. But Krishna was looking at Radharani, sidelong glance. Radharani is looking at Krishna and Krishna's hand is shaking out of ecstasy. Now when this was happening, you had Balaramji. He was looking at Krishna. He was the one who was actually holding this hill afloat like an umbrella very easily. And suddenly what happened? Aha. See, he was looking at Krishna, he was looking at Radharani. He was looking at Krishna, he was looking at Radharani. And Balaram just goes and stands in the middle like this. And then Krishna is looking at Radharani and his hands are shaking. Suddenly he sees Balaram. He's a good boy back again. Okay, elder brother, I'll behave myself. So in that way, Balaram is so so loving and so caring. Thank you so much. I just remember that angle. And anyway, we'll be short on time. So tomorrow we'll be discussing, Balaram is even more, he's entering his Pauganda Leelas, and we will be covering, oh not tomorrow, day after. So the next class, we would be covering his the killing of Dhenukasur and Pralambasur, etc. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bhava.